sermon series called Clean. And if you remember last week, I'm just going to review just briefly last week. Last week I talked about this. This is from the Barna Group, which is they're in the United States, and they specifically study churches, right? And 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women view pornography at least monthly. And that's a reminder for you, but it's also to point out, you know, last week I was saying it was 80% of the church because I'm bad at math, and I was adding 64 and 15, 79, and I was rounding up a percent. But the truth is, that's actually 40%, not 80. Look at that. We've improved significantly in 7 days, right? all because I'm bad at math, but it works. But this is something that affects 40% of the church, and this is why we're talking about it. And if you remember as well, we talked about a non-faith-based study from the University of Indiana and the University of Alabama, right, where they took 160 college-age men and women and had three groups. The one group that watched 5 hours of pornography over 6 weeks, and these are the five things that they discovered from that group that watched the 5 hours. Right, that watching pornography decreases your sexual satisfaction because I'm not going to explain them all. I'll just, you have to listen to last week. I'll just go through them quick. Watching pornography actually disconnects us from real relationships. Watching pornography lowers our view of men and women. This was actually true of both men and women in this study. I just paused because that one always gets me. Watching pornography desensitizes us to cruelty. And number five, watching pornography makes us want to watch more pornography, meaning that it weakens our willpower and self-control. And because it actually releases chemicals into your brain that change the way that your mind is working, just like any other addiction that happens. And so your mind and your body begin to crave the rush that it brings, and so it actually weakens your willpower and self-control. In that, I will just then again reiterate, because this is a sensitive topic for some people, and you know, for years within the church, we haven't really talked freely or openly about sex. But the fact is, sex is a good thing. God created sex. We're meant to enjoy it. Let me encourage you: if you are married, enjoy it. You're all not sure what to think about that. You're like, can we say that in church? Yes, we can, because God created it, right? And so God wants us to experience his pleasure. In that, we also understand that we are broken people. Each and every one of us have shortcomings and flaws and failures, things that we struggle with. And that would include people that find themselves trapped in pornography. We talked about it last week. No one that finds themselves trapped in a secret sin wants to be there. So it isn't just as easy as saying, well, you should just do something different. I can guarantee you that they're trying, they're working at it. So what I want to do today is we're actually going to have a couple men share their stories with you. Men that have actually come to me and said, I would like to tell what's happening with me. Because, well, I just think this is a valuable thing for us to hear other people's stories instead of just the pastor and a sermon, to hear struggles and the real things that people are doing to overcome. So I'm going to invite Darren Dennell. Darren's going to come, and he's going to share for a few minutes, and then I've got some more things to share, and then we'll have another fella come at the end. Why don't you welcome Darren up here with us this morning.
Come on. So, this is something that God has put on my heart for close to 5 years now.
Go put that mic up here, man.
Right up to it, I guess. Chin rest. I have talked to Pastor John and Pastor Blair a few times now, and I have said that if I need to stand in front of the church and admit that I am a porn addict, I will do it. And this is God calling me out, saying, hey, here's your opportunity. This is way out of my comfort zone. but that's what God does. He pushes us. I first viewed pornography when I was 12. That's where it started. By the age of 16, I was fully addicted. You find ways to hide it. You live in the shadows. You feel dirty. You feel so unworthy of God's love. When I first became a porn addict, I was not a Christian. So I didn't realize or didn't think that it was a problem. It was just something that, I'm a maturing young man. This is what they do. We explore. When I became a Christian, that's when I started feeling shame, guilt, unworthiness. It is so hard to... to have a relationship with God when you feel that. Because when you're doing it, the endorphins are going, you're like, yeah. And then after, you're like, what have I done? Why do I do this? It hurts. It hurts so much. But when I finally got to the point where I admitted that I have an addiction, I am broken, I need help. Hardest conversation I ever had with my wife was admitting to her that I am a porn addict. And it had nothing to do with her. This started so long before I even met her. But I was so afraid of hurting my wife. But I had to. I knew it was going to hurt her. I didn't know how and what way it was going to hurt her, but I knew it would. My wife is such a strong person in faith that her reaction was not what I was expecting. She so fully supported me in this. And by admitting it to her, it has drawn us so much closer, because this wall that I had built is no longer there. I took the power from Satan and said, no, God is going to help me with this. You don't get this over me anymore. The problem with today is a staggering stat. From when you decide that you want to watch porn to actually viewing porn, the average time is 11 seconds. That's so sad. And it's not just young kids. It affects so many people. But I feel that the culture in our church is changing. Before, I didn't feel like when I was a Christian and with this problem, I didn't feel I could come to the church. I didn't feel I can go to my pastors. But Pastor Blair is such a blessing to this church that he's opening us up to God more, that I now feel that I can stand up here and say, hey, I'm addicted. I'm just at the beginning. As I said, I am at the point now where I am admitting that I have a problem. What the road looks from here, I don't know. I know God is working. God's going to help me. He's going to help. But also know that I have prayed a lot about this. My problem is getting my head out of the way. And that's why I need external help. But yeah, so that's my story. I said I'd keep it short. That's what I've done. Thank you.
Stay here. I just want us to pray together for Darren. Father, thank you. Thank you that for Darren's willingness to be vulnerable and broken in front of us, God. We know that's not always easy. So, Lord, we pray for him right now that you would bless him for that vulnerability. God, we pray for your freedom, your healing, your deliverance in his life, God. I know he's prayed hundreds, thousands of times for it, but God, we ask again. Lord, we pray that you set him free now in Jesus' name. addiction cannot have a hold on him because he belongs to you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help us to come around and to love those that find themselves trapped in places, to walk with them, to help, to encourage, to love. Thank you for him. We pray your blessing over him and over his marriage, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I can't state how difficult that must be. And I truly appreciate Darren's willingness. So, each and every one of us, we're broken, right? We have flaws, things that we struggle with. And the Bible describes that we need more than just a strategy or steps to take to manage our weakness. Well, it's good to have practical steps and strategies. That they're important, as well as, you know, the understanding, the belief that God is and will continue to work in us and set us free. We need more than that. It's not just dependent upon our efforts. Our efforts do matter, and they make a difference, but there's more to it than that. There is a spiritual component to all of this, to any of us in our brokenness. And Ephesians 2 and 1 says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins." You know, if you're here this morning and you're trapped in pornography or like any sin that has you trapped, then you know the negative effects that it has on your relationship with God. You know and understand the shame that Darren was describing, that the hiding, the difficulty of continuing a relationship with God, the difficulty of showing up to church on a Sunday, and the hiding, the pretending, and what happens on the inside is that feels like death to people. If you've experienced that in any way, you know and understand what that does, the tension, the feeling of death that it brings to the inside, to your heart and your mind. Now, here's the thing. If you're dead, you don't need a strategy or steps, right, to be less dead. You don't just need some time to recover, right? I'm dead, so I'm just going to lay down and have a little rest. Maybe I'll feel better, right? This isn't how it works. So you need more than steps or strategies. You need resurrection. And this is the spiritual side. This is what Jesus offers us. He offers us new life. He offers us the opportunity to be born again, to be brought to life. God's goal is more than modifying your behavior. It's more than that. He wants more for you than to just quit pornography or to make it out of whatever addiction or sin you find yourself trapped in. He wants to make you new in every way. He wants to make you like Jesus. Each and every one of us. The fact is that we all just find ourselves on different paths, different roads, and different places of brokenness, and different places of victory as well. So Galatians 5 says this. It says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." The sinful nature wants to do what's evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Who hasn't experienced that, right, as you've tried to serve Jesus? And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Those two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. To those who belong to Christ Jesus, or those who belong to Christ Jesus, have nailed their passions and desires to their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So, where we were dead, he wants to bring us to life so that we can then be led by his Spirit. It is the goal, I would assume it should be the goal for each and every one of our lives, right? Is we would say it, we would express it of, you know, less of me and more of him. We would express it as saying, I just want to please God in everything I do. And this is what he's looking for from us, that we put to death every weakness, every thing that we find ourselves struggling with or trapped in, so that we can bring it to him, that we can crucify it with Christ, put it to death, and experience his life, his resurrection, his resurrected power within us. That we are then led by his Spirit. I can guarantee you that those who find themselves trapped in pornography are asking God for help. They're asking. And as I said to you last week, we either can knock them down or we can come alongside and try and lift them up. And I believe that what Jesus would want from us is to try to come alongside and help them be free. If you've ever found yourself caught or trapped in something, you know how much you desire, first off, to be free, and then secondly, for somebody to come along and help you, even though the idea of vulnerability can be terrifying. This is how God has actually made us to work. God so values community. He so values relationship that he actually never wants to just let us hide anything. And as people bring things out into the open, what God wants from us and what he wants them to experience and to receive is the same grace and love and mercy that he would give them. That doesn't mean that you just say, oh, it's okay what you're doing. Nobody's saying that. It's saying God loves you. He has something better for you. He wants freedom for you. What can I do to help you be free? This is what God desires. So in this, right, we see that God desires us to take our passions and desires of our sinful nature, put them on the cross, to crucify them, to be led by the Spirit. We have to think differently about our relationship with him. We have to think, here's how I would say it. I would say that we need to have resurrected thinking. We have to have resurrected thinking. When you find yourself trapped in something, whether it's pornography or another sin or addiction, if you find yourself trapped there, it's very difficult to embrace resurrected thinking. And yet, as we talked about last week, your decisions, your actions do matter. And so I actually have for you this morning, I've got five ways that you can embrace this, five ways you can embrace resurrected thinking that will help you. And so I'm going to share these quick, and then I'm going to invite the next gentleman to come up. So five ways to embrace resurrection thinking. The first one is this: it's to embrace true relationship. We are built and formed for relationship. Part of that is accountability. It's accountability. It doesn't mean that I don't think that everybody needs to stand up here and confess the things that they find themselves trapped in or caught in. Darren felt that God was really telling him to do this. Get that. Darren felt like God was telling him to do it. And so I appreciate his willingness to be obedient and vulnerable. What that tells me is that people that are trapped in these things, they do still hear from God because they're trying to. They want to. This is a part of true relationship. It's accountability. It's being open. It's finding people that will encourage you and speak truth to you, to remind you of your higher calling in life, because your higher calling is to be like Jesus in all things. It's to walk in his Spirit. That takes true relationship with him and one another. Part of true relationship, right, is freedom from things like that Darren talked about, freedom from shame, freedom from judgment and hiding, There's a couple different kinds of judgment in the Bible. In the Bible, there's the judgment that condemns, and that's the judgment I'm referring to. We're free, right? Romans 8:1 says there's now therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Then there's the kind of judgment that weighs things. It's like scales. It's whether something is good or bad. Of course, being addicted to anything, we would understand, is not good for us. And that's the kind of judgment that should get a response from us that says, how can I help you receive what God has for you that is good? Because God always has something good in mind. So we have to embrace true relationship. We need to embrace Scripture. So embrace the Bible. The idea of this is that it renovates your thinking by internalizing Scripture. As I told you last week, these 5 points are from Covenant Eyes, covenanteyes.com. Fantastic resource. Check it out. I offered it last week, and I'll tell you again, this church, it's a website, but it's also a filtering, and it's an app that filters and holds you accountable. This church, we will pay for 10 accounts for up to 3 months for you if you need help. If you say, I'm struggling and I need set free, come talk to me, and I'll get you set up. That's please. I so believe that God wants you to be free. So we embrace Scripture. The idea is that you take God's word and you memorize it. What does God think about? What does Scripture say about this? I've hidden your word in my heart. Why? So I won't sin against you. Right. So you take Scripture and you internalize it. And God will bring... Anybody here that's taken the time to study Scripture, to memorize it, has probably had God recall, bring to your mind Scripture at certain points in time in your life, right? This is why you do it. So it's a way that you embrace resurrected thinking, because it's easy for us to slip back into our old ways of thinking. And so you have to intentionally begin to embrace resurrected thinking, to spend your time and energy memorizing truth, because truth sets us free. Number three, to embrace pure pleasure. Pure pleasure. You know, the addiction to pornography is an aspect of it that has everything to do with pleasure. God has created us to experience and to enjoy pleasure in godly, healthy ways. And so to embrace it in its purest form, in godly, holy ways. But more than that, the purest pleasure that you will ever experience is the presence of God. It's being with Him. It's being in His presence. When you are in His presence, just fully, holy, all of you, as much as you're able to bring, when you're there, you are actually the truest version of yourself. So you embrace pure pleasure, which is Him and His Spirit, being in His presence, His gratitude, His love, His holiness, which holiness just means to be separate from sin. And that's what He desires from us. Number four, embrace your true identity. People that find themselves caught in things, addiction, but not just them. This is something that I would say that Christians have struggled with. We often identify ourselves by our brokenness. We often identify ourselves by our failures. Addicts will identify themselves by their addiction. And I understand why, but God says something very different about us. When we come to Jesus, right, you were dead in your sins, and Jesus raises you up. He resurrects you. You're made new. You become a son or a daughter. He says something very different about you in terms of your identity, who you are. And so, to embrace resurrection thinking, you have to embrace who God says you are. Meaning, there's times where you have to say, I know what my heart and mind are telling me right now that I am a no good scum sinner. But God says something very different. This is why Galatians says there's a war that happens within us. Your flesh, your sinful nature wants this, and the Spirit says something very different. And they're fighting each other. Your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions are the battleground. And so when your mind, will, and emotions are embracing what is not your true identity, because you're finding it in your sin, your failure, your weakness, then you'll find yourself struggling more. I've said it to you like this, I'm going to remind you, right? If you just, what you say about yourself, what you think about yourself, is how you identify yourself. So if you say, I'm a sinner, guess what? You're going to find it much easier to do. Right? But if you say, no, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of the Most High God. I'm not saying you won't still sin. Of course you will. But at least then you're like, okay, but that you then at least have a roadblock, don't you? It's like, okay, I want to do that, but I'm not supposed to do that. I don't really want to do it because I actually am a son and a daughter of the Most High God. I was bought and paid for by Jesus at an incredible price. I get what Jesus deserved because of what Jesus did for me. And so the idea is that we embrace this resurrected thinking that inspires us, encourages us to live for God. Number five, embrace hope. Embrace hope. If you find yourself trapped in addiction, in brokenness, in weakness, and we all do at different times, that the thing that when I say embrace hope, this is the thing. Change is possible for you because of Jesus. Because of the Holy Spirit at work in you. God actually has good plans for you. I know it's sometimes not easy to hang on to that in the midst of failure after failure after failure. But the fact is that there's no lost causes with Jesus, right? Not one. There's no one that is beyond his grace or his help. So embrace hope for yourself, but embrace hope for others. Right? If you're a spouse here and your husband or wife is trapped in the addiction to pornography, embrace hope for you and for them. Jesus has good plans for you and for your spouse. Embrace hope. Is there anything God can't change? Of course not. All right. So, with all that, then I'm going to invite up our next fella. It's Andrew. And Andrew's going to tell you a little bit about his story, and which is going to be a little different because he's a little further down the road. Thanks, Andrew. Bless you, man.
Got to put in my password. So I want to say just off the bat, I didn't know, we didn't know what the other guy was going to say. So there's a little bit of overlap, Holy Spirit overlap. So can you hear me okay? Hi, my name is Andrew, and I'm a porn addict. Now the most important part of that statement is my name. Have you ever seen a movie that has an AA meeting in it, and everyone in the crowd is supposed to say, "Hi, Andrew," after I say it, right? So let's try it again. Hi, my name's Andrew, and I'm a new creation. I've been clean from porn and masturbation for 30 months. Am I still allowed to count my clean time in months? Because it sounds like a higher number than two. I might keep doing it to like 200 and then switch to years. No, the time doesn't matter that much and I no longer consider myself a porn addict. I am a new creation. The man who I once was has died. He was crucified with Christ and no longer lives. But Christ lives in me. I just want to share for 5 minutes with you about my journey of coming out of the darkness. I want to share with you about becoming part of the light. Do you want to know how I bring light into the world? I share my story, the good and the bad. I tell the truth. That's simple. And the truth has and continues to set me free. When I was very young, I was sexually abused. It happened so early in my life that until I was 30, I didn't really even know it happened. It's hard to explain. On some level, I knew it happened, but it always just remained this amorphous, dark kind of thing that haunted me. To explain would take me more than 5 minutes, so if you want to hear more, we can get a coffee sometime and chat. When I was 13, I became hooked on porn, although I never would have called it an addiction. And I'm sure many of you here who do this don't call it an addiction. I just thought this is what guys did, right? You know, have you ever told yourself that? Have you ever told your wife that? I was told that. I desperately wanted to believe I was normal. And in many ways, it is normal to want to soothe a broken heart. We all have broken hearts. We just soothe them in broken ways at times. And when we do that, we compound our problems. I never tried to stop until I met Jesus in a real way when I was 24. From the first moment I started trying, it took me 7 years to find freedom from porn. I'm not saying that to try to scare you, but to implore you. There is a much faster way to leave Egypt than the road I took. My sexual journey has been the most difficult thing I've had to face, and it's not over yet. Thank you, Jesus. Not over yet until I'm in the grave, one wise man once said to me. You see, when I was a boy, I had all my choices taken away from me. And then in trying to soothe my pain, I gave over my choice to a brutal taskmaster. I repeated those same offenses against myself, against God, and against my loved ones. I also wronged the women trapped in that industry. But our God sought me out in my slavery. He lifted me from the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. He called to me, and because of Jesus, I found that I could answer. I had a voice. It doesn't matter if you've fallen into porn for no apparent reason. If you had a good childhood and a loving family and everything seemed to go your way, but still you chose this, Jesus is calling to you today. So do not harden your heart. And if you also have been abused like I was, if you never had a choice and you feel broken and shattered beyond repair and you still don't feel like you have a choice today, Jesus is calling to you. God called to Adam and Eve in the garden and he's still calling to us today. They had sinned and they were ashamed and they were hiding. Adam, Eve, where are you? He said. He's calling again today. He's calling us out of the darkness. Just after my first daughter was born, I reached the low point of my addiction. I found myself just wanting to die. My wife, who is strong and brave, had always known of my problem, and she was fighting with me. But I just continued to fall and fall, and I couldn't stop. Each time I knew I had to tell her, and each time I knew I had to see that look of heartbreak on her face. But still, I found I had no control. And I found myself thinking, maybe they would be better off without me. Maybe I'm going to do this to them my entire life. It was then at my lowest point near the edge of death that I found I could finally give up. Do you know what I did? I died. The man who I was died. I stepped out of the darkness into the all-consuming light. I told my church, like Darren. I joined a group. 30 months ago, I did what Darren did. I joined a group. I began to write the word of God on my heart. I walked with men who made Jesus the center of their lives, and he began to be the center of mine. Not because I'm really spiritual or have it all figured out, but because I suddenly desperately knew the need I had for him. So don't let all these I statements fool you. Jesus went into the darkness before me. He died before me. He died for me. And he led me out of the darkness with flesh and blood help, with my wife, with my best friends, and with my church. So if you're wondering why God won't free you, then I challenge you to walk with me, with us, to take one step out of the darkness, to voice your frustrations and questions, and hold on to Jesus through the night. Wrestle with him until you receive a blessing. I'm going to share with you what is probably one of my favorite Bible verses. I think there's a slide for it. It's Ephesians 5, 8 to 15. There it is. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is a promise. Anything we make visible will become light because of Jesus. That's how I can be light today. So today, if you hear his voice, I implore you once again, take one beautiful step of faith toward the voice of love. I can tell you without any doubt what you will receive, because it's what I'm holding today. It's hope. There is hope here, and there's more than enough to share. Thanks.
So I just actually asked Andrew if he would pause and if you'd pray for those that find themselves trapped, to find the same freedom that he has, and just for us as a church to be able to walk through and walk with those that find themselves in that place. As he does that, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up, and we're going to respond to the Lord in worship after this.
All right. Dear Jesus, you are beautiful. We thank you that you are the most beautiful thing. You're worth pursuing. I pray you bring your light into this place, to your house. I pray you bring your light into our hearts. You shine your light into each of our hearts. You meet with us right now. And I pray for chains to be broken today, for lives to be changed. We thank you for what you did on the cross. Amen.